desire prayers. I have no sufficiency of myself. My sufficiency is of God. For those who are our visitors, we've started a series of messages concerning the work of God. We would like to continue this morning, and I'm going to start out with this little statement. Did you know if you are here this morning, you are doing the work of God? I believe the work of God is broad. It is apparent. If you have a burden for the work of God, you have a right burden. If you have desires to see the kingdom of God to advance in the earth, and if you have a desire to witness success among the church, it goes beyond that, but you're on the right track. So it's a very large and broad subject. I feel like that the Lord has given me a little vision of his work in the earth. When we began with the series, we had a question that said, does God need us to do his work? So I'm going to repeat the statement of the commentator. We're going to refresh our minds just a little bit as to our thoughts and to our judgment as well, but this is what I read. I said, the God of the Bible is one who does not need us at all. Sounds sort of negative, doesn't it? In theological language, divine aseity, which is a Latin word, literally means from within himself. God is the fullness of everlasting life and of himself. So having said that, we referenced the creation. Was there any man that helped God in the creation? No. God was able to speak into existence all that you and I know of in this time world, and it was of himself. There are many proofs that God works just by the spoken word, in the word. But in reality, we came to the conclusion that he uses his people to do the work of God in the earth. He still needs us, though he is God within himself. You remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem and there was great rejoicing, and it was said, if they did not cry out, the rocks would. That was something created by God. And he had the power to make even the rocks cry out. So when we ask the question, it isn't to be a negative question. It isn't to make us think, oh, God doesn't need me. No, God needs you. And he needs me. He wants to use us in his kingdom. But there is a way for God to do it. And that's what we're going to be looking at concerning the work of God. We concluded God does not just use anyone. Do you believe that? There are it is a little bit difficult for me to say, prerequisites. In other words, he doesn't go out into the world and just pick anybody. He is looking for the redeemed and the sanctified of his body. That's the ones that he is able to create and use and place in his body, his plan, his purposes, is all through the redeemed of the earth. That should encourage us. If you are redeemed, if you are sanctified, you're part of the work of God in the earth. Thank the Lord. The work of God covers every phase of his plans and his purposes. And he's done so from the beginning, and he will do so to the end. And the work that is accomplished is also through his calling. And we're not going over to that specific chapter today where it names out everyone that he has placed in the body and what that position is. But what God wants is for everyone to find their place in the body. He wants everyone to, I'm going to say, care about the work of God in the earth. Showing an interest of the work of God, not just in our local congregation, but to have an interest around the world. God is interested in every country. We had a message just before this that he sets up kings and he takes down kings. We gave the scriptures that showed that he rules in the kingdoms of the world. It's not just the United States. It's not just Germany. It's not just certain places. God has all power in heaven and in earth. And though we may say, oh, but we elected this president, he's not a king, but it sounds as though we feel like we've done something to make it happen. But it's not so. God is in control. Though we may agree or disagree with whomever is placed in authority, God has the authority over the kingdoms of the world. That should encourage us. We're also encouraged to know that the government of his work in the church is on his shoulder. He is the ruler. We believe, we teach that he gives the messages through the Holy Spirit, through inspiration. God is interested in the success of his church in the earth, wherever it is. He wants his people to prosper spiritually, and he wants them to be yielded to him that he might be able to place them in the body, wherever that is, that will please him and that will work best for his plan and for his purposes. So um, All of us has a calling. The scripture says we are called to be saints. That's everyone.
Yes.
Many times we might think that we've got to have a specific, being called to be a saint is specific. It's a high calling. And it is all part of the work of God. He has given us examples, instructions, enlightenment, how to be holy. I'm calling you to be holy because I am holy. I call you to righteousness because I am a righteous God. I call you to purity and these characteristics of God that is all part of his work. He wants it to be working in his people to be effective, to be in the work of God. So Jesus, we also gave the scripture where the people came to Jesus and he said, what do we do to do the works of God? What must we do? And it seemed like such a simple answer, but when you really think about it, it has to follow through every phase, every position, every calling. Jesus answered and said, the work of God is to believe on him whom he sent. That's faith. We must have the faith of Christ in order to develop and grow and be able to hear the voice of the Lord and find our place in the body. Faith has got to be the foundation. So we must believe in order to do the works of God. So this morning, we want to address our personal mission field. Your personal mission field is discovered and developed in the course of life. Do you believe that? Daily living for the Lord. Daily seeking the face of God. Prayer. Studying his word. In the course of that, the voice of the Lord can be made manifest. God calls us all, but he makes known to us his will for us, and he wants us to fit in the body. So we're going to refer to our mission field. And we're going to start out with the scripture that says, the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. I'm going to say that as we advance in his kingdom, it is like how the scripture said to the children of Israel when they entered the land of Canaan, wherever you step your foot, I'm going to give you that place. You can claim it. It can be personalized for you. So we identify and we accept our personal mission field. Now, that's not the ending. That's the beginning. It's very important how we seek God. After we are saved and sanctified and we our desires, we are a new creature in Christ, we are changing direction from where we may have been going, and now we are we have a different vision, we have a different purpose, we begin to pray. And I hope that you understand what I'm meaning by this. When we pray, we may say, "Oh God, give me grace for this day." Good prayer. It's a right prayer. I personally continue praying probably every day. Fill me with your Spirit. That's not saying I'm being sanctified again. I am simply desiring the Spirit of the Lord to be working in me and through me every day. Paul said, "I die daily." There is a daily walk, a daily prayer of seeking God, and he answers that. He honors that. He sees how that you and I are human, and we have human ideas and flesh, and we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And oh, I cannot stress enough of the importance of seeking for an infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I would like to address a specific phase and time of life. Some of you are not there. Some of you are there. Some of you are approaching this time of life. But I want to talk about marriage. Last Sunday afternoon, I opened it up, but I want to go a little bit farther with the work of God in marriage. Marriage was ordained of God. It was ordered for His glory, for the good of mankind. He told Adam and Eve to go forth, and they both had, conditions that they had to live with because of their choice. But Adam was created first. I started out introducing or talking to the men last Sunday, but I want to speak to you again this morning just a little bit. I want you to be encouraged that if you're filling the place that God created you for, you're doing His work. Oh, you might say, "But I'm not a preacher, and I'm not going to Africa, and I'm not doing." Look away from those things and look to the present, and consider what you are doing in obedience to God, because He said, "If ye love me, ye will obey me." You'll obey my commandments. And as we consider, and I'm going to be repeating some of this from last Sunday. When God created Adam, he did it in his likeness. The men are created for a special purpose in God's work. You have a calling. Young men, you have a calling. If your parents have been training you, teaching you how to be a man, Adam had to go out, the scripture said. He had to work by the sweat of his brow, and it was for the purpose of providing for his house. That's the calling of God. That's part of his work. If you are being obedient to that, you're doing the work of God. This phase and stage of your life, that is the work God has called you to. So, when you stood at that place and you took your vows, and those that have not met that place or been in that place, I want to stress the importance of living to your vows. The scripture says it is better not to make a vow than to make it and break it. And we're living in a world where vows are being broken, families are being broken, because somebody was not willing to deny themselves. We had some of this in the Sunday school this morning. When God created man, he created him, the scripture said, in his image. He gave a requirement to Adam that he didn't necessarily require of Eve. And that's not to say that a woman is not responsible. She is. She will answer for her life. But God, when Adam and Eve fell and they hid themselves because they weren't sufficiently covered, and God called them, who did he call? He called Adam. He didn't call Eve. And that's not giving an excuse for the woman. I don't want to impress that at all. I want to impress upon us to do the work of God, to be obedient, to fill the place that God is calling men to. God's going to call you. Yes, amen. He's going to call your name. A man has a grave responsibility to the spiritual life of his family. Do you believe that? Yes. That's part of the work of God. Yes. We should be encouraged. Oh, the enemy would like to sometimes make us think you're not doing anything for God. Mm-hmm. You're not really even being a witness. Did the devil ever say anything to you like that? And he makes you feel guilty. Rebuke the devil if you are filling the place that God has placed you in a family. Yes. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I want to take care of my family. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to be an example to my family. I'm going to teach these young men how to be men. We're living in a world that our men do not know how to teach their sons to be men. And you young men, if your father and your mother is teaching you that way, you're blessed. You're doing the work of God. You're in the work of God. Oh, this is way down maybe in the everyday life, but I want to tell you, that's where God begins his work. You don't get saved one day and sanctified the next and then jump way over here and you're going to India. You got spiritual growth, learning, getting acquainted with the voice of God and filling your place. Listen, if you're filling, you young people, if you're filling a right place in your home, being obedient and subject to your parents, you're doing the work of God. Encourage yourself. God is using you in that place. Now, there's a reason he's using you in that place. He wants you to be able to go farther. Amen. And he will take you farther. He will develop your walk with the Lord. He'll develop and it's the work of God. But don't allow yourself to be discouraged if you think you're not doing enough. I've been there. I remember years ago here in the congregation, at that time I was the only minister. I had a lot of older people in the congregation, and I served them. I gave of my time and my energy, and I could never be satisfied. I could never do enough, I felt. I was driving myself. Now, let me tell you something. God is not a driver.
No, that's right.
He is a leader.
Yes.
He is a shepherd. He's the captain. And so I'm under this oppression and accusing myself And it was in the Sunday school adult class that day, and it wasn't even the topic of the lesson, but the scripture was read, and I knew I had a weapon to work with.
Thank you, Lord.
It was speaking of having a perfect mind. And it said, if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you.
Yes.
I had my answer.
Thank the Lord.
You can trust God to show you,
thank the Lord,
to work with you and deal with you. You can rely on him. I've used it different times in the messages recently about divine trust. This is called divine trust. So what if you come up and you feel like, oh, I'm just not doing enough? God will reveal it to you.
Yes, he will.
He wants you to fill the place he's calling you to fill right now. Because that's going to lead to something else further down the road. And he will never accuse. He does not accuse us. God wants you to be successful more than you do.
Yes.
So anyway, young men, encourage yourself. If you're obeying God and you're living for him, you're in his will, you're in his work for right now.
Yes.
Time's going to change.
Yes, it will.
But for right now, be encouraged that you're doing what God... If you're going to a job, if you're supporting your family, you're doing God's work.
That's it.
If you are... I'm going to say this. If you are going out and facing the world, the commandment was for all. You're a city that is set on a hill. You're the light of the world. If you're going to a job and you're being an example. You don't even have to say anything. A lot of times your very life radiates. That's the work of God. So I want to encourage us this today to look at your personal mission field and accept it. Be faithful. Now I'm going to add this, and I think I said it maybe last time, but this is vital. If you are loving your wife as Christ loved the church, if you're studying that and you're understanding what that means, and you're in the work of God, God's pleased. The scripture says that he gave himself for the church. If you are, and this goes along with our Sunday school lesson a little bit, but if you're giving yourself, you're doing the work of God. If you're sacrificing, be encouraged. Well, we'll go now to the women, and it's not an extensive. We all are familiar with what the Word of God says. The scripture says for the older women to teach the younger women something. It says for us to teach to love your husbands, to love your children, to be a keeper at home. Oh, that doesn't mean you have to stay home all the time, but it means a lot. Take care of your house. When those babies are crying and laundry is piling up and you've got to cook a meal and you feel distressed and pressured and, oh, I'm not doing enough for the Lord, you are. You are doing God's work. And he's pleased. He's smiling on you. He's not calling you to go out and be a missionary right now. You have a mission field right in your home. Teach those children. And I know you do. It's obvious. It's apparent. Our children are being taught to fear God and keep his commandments, and our children are being taught the word. They may not understand it right at the age they are, but it's going to stay there. And they're training up, you are training up a child in the way that child should go. And when that child is old, you know that child will know how to teach their children. It is not totally the mother's responsibility to train. You fathers have grave responsibilities. Instruction was given that you not provoke your children to anger. I remember one time years ago with my children, and I was having difficulty with one of mine. And I didn't know what to do. I have tried this correction and that one, and it just wasn't working. One night I was up by myself and I opened up the Bible and my eyes fell on this scripture. Provoke to love and good works. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know how to provoke to anger. Learn how to provoke to love and good works. My admonition to you parents today is learn how to provoke your children to love and good works. So, it's not popular to be a keeper at home. But God wants to bless you.
Yes.
And that's where the blessing is.
Yes.
I can encourage young mothers and young wives. Oh, but I have to get up in the morning and I hit the floor running, and I know because I've been there. The baby is already crying, and you don't even have time to get on your knees. What do I do? I've given counsel to many. Give God the first thoughts. He knows that you need to be in there with a baby or with a child or whatever the responsibility is at the moment. But when you first awaken, let your thoughts turn toward the things of God and to thanksgiving thanking the Lord that you came through the night and for the sleep and the rest. These thoughts don't take 30 minutes. Give God your first thoughts. Oh, I learned this from others. It's not like I was all knowledgeable about this. It was taught to me. And so you can say, thank you, Lord, that I can see with my eyes. Thank you, Lord, that I can see the light of a new day. That's the work of God. That's carrying out the work of God in your personal mission field. Encourage yourself. There'll be the times that you can spend on your knees ever how long you want. But give God praise and thanksgiving in the beginning of your day. I have said to some, give God your first 5 minutes. Sometimes you can't even give 5 minutes. But you can give him praise. Love your husbands when they're not lovable. I was giving counsel to actually Lauren and Patrice on the phone. And I was giving him a lot of what I have said to you men. I didn't know she was going to be on the phone at the time, but she was. And when I finished to one point, she says, well, I guess I'm going to have to study. I was telling him what to study. And I guess I'm going to have to study how to submit to my husband as unto the Lord. Women, there's a secret. When it's not easy to be submissive, do it as unto the Lord. That is the work of God in you. Study what that means. Get a vision of what that will. I've never had a fly this big up here. Ever. I just want to encourage us all to encourage ourselves in the work that you're doing for God at this stage and phase of your life. Ever how he leads you in the future is God's business. Follow him right now.
Yes, this season.
Allow him to work in you right now, where you are. And don't allow the enemy to accuse.
Yes.
continue to do the work of God. We're in closing now. I have some scriptures. The one scripture I would like to give to you is, whatever you do, and I'm going to paraphrase it, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, let your purpose be to glorify God. We had a message recently on being vessels unto honor, unto God's honor. You will be a vessel unto God's honor if you do all to the glory of God. Luke 16:10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Let that be your theme. Let that rule in your life. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful when you don't feel like being faithful. Be faithful to carry out your personal mission in your home. Well, there's another side to all of this. That be faithful. The next scripture is Matthew 25:21, and I'm just choosing parts of that, and you'll be familiar. But the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful, and I said, over these few things. You've been faithful over a few things. Look what he said. I will make you ruler over many other things. So you have desire. Oh, I would like to be on the mission field. That's not a bad desire. If God calls you to that, that's where he wants you to be. But be faithful in the little things, in the few things, and then he'll make you ruler over many other things. That's a promise. It's part of the work of God. Our last scripture is Luke 12:42-44, just parts of it. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find him so doing. Be faithful to the end. Whatever state of life, whatever calling God eventually may give to you, or wherever you are in the phases of life, be found doing that when the Lord comes. Oh, it's not easy. You get bored. You know, we don't use that word in our house. And when our children, our grandchildren get bored, we say, that's not a good word. Don't allow yourself to be bored in the work of God. And then it says, the ending of that verse says, the truth is, and I said it that way, he will make you ruler over all that he has. Isn't that precious? Be faithful where you are right now, because he wants to make you a ruler over many other things. That's the work of God. And he is in control of it. The government is on his shoulder. Thank the Lord. Pray for me. I want to carry out my calling to my last breath.
Yes.
And let us pray for one another.
Yes.
Amen.